So I was coming from really far away, but then I got on a bus and, you know, rode a bus, so I kind of cheated.
Is there a multiplier for elevation?
Yeah, there is, you know, absolutely. Multiplier for elevation for sure, yeah. So anybody come from the field house down there, a few people up the steps? That's impressive. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I'm going to be talking about statistics and women's roles in churches of Christ, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do that is because we hear a lot of things. Anybody ever get on the internet? You know, like you get on Facebook, and you hear a lot of things, right? You experience this where people say a lot of things, but you're not really sure how true it is. And so you need some verification. You know, how do you really know? How do you really know what's going on, what's happened, how it's happened, what are the results, what's typical, you know, what's worked, what's not worked, all these sorts of things. Because there's a lot of things said about this, but I really wanted to know what's really going on out there. And it's just a very, very important question, because I don't like to base things that I say just on speculation. I don't like to base it on assumption. Now, you know, we're not ever going to absolutely know certain things, but we can start to wrap our minds around it. If we're going to be responsible people in church leadership positions to speak from a knowledgeable perspective is a pretty important thing. And so I hope to bring some light to that on this subject over these next two sessions. And so my approach on these two sessions is going to be, I'm just going to give you as much as I can, you know, and I'm not going to hold off too much for session two. If we get through more than I intend, let's just get through more than I intend and let's talk at the end. I don't want to leave you just kind of hanging on like, yeah, session two, we're going to get to the really good stuff, so come back. Like, we're not going to do that. I'm just going to kind of go at this and just give you whatever I can give you and serve you however I can serve you. And I hope that it's helpful to you because it's important that we have this information. And so I love math. I love statistics. When I was an undergrad at Harding, I was a psychology major, took a lot of statistics, went to the University of Florida in the Department of Clinical and Health Psychology, worked on National Institute of Mental Health grant on child behavior therapy, and just spent a lot of time around statistics, took a lot of graduate level courses on statistics. And so when I switched to ministries, after September 11th, I kind of had this like come to Jesus moment of what's my life really all about, and I decided to go into ministry. And ever since then, there's been certain points in time where I've kind of looked at this and said, how do I use that for the kingdom work? And this is one of those areas I feel like we really need some clarity. And so I say all that to say that I didn't just go to SurveyMonkey and create a survey and it spit out a bunch of stuff, and I'm just going to hand it to you, okay? We were just talking about internal review boards and things and NIMH grants and stuff. I mean, we've been a part of some of those things. I'm fairly knowledgeable. I'm not an expert pro at the very tops of the levels, but I know what I'm doing with these numbers, and I think that you'll benefit from this. Because there's a lot of strong feelings on this, and there's a lot of assumptions and biases on this topic. And when I started asking people to fill out this survey, it was really interesting, the feedback that began coming back to me. Because sometimes we find what we're looking for when we get into things, oftentimes. One person responded and said, I'm surprised you were so interested in worship. And I said, well, it's interesting. I never actually mentioned that word. You know, I ask fairly open-ended questions, but see, people get so focused on certain things that it begins to come out. And we begin to look for it. One of the things I want to do, just very briefly in this class, is I want to educate you, ever so slightly, on statistics, because I'm going to give you some numbers, and I want you to understand those numbers. Because I don't want you to go off with that and not understand what the numbers mean, okay? Because there's going to be a lot of times when you hear certain statistics in your life and you're going to need to understand what those mean. And I'm going to try to do this very briefly and as engagingly as you can possibly explain statistics, right? I mean, okay. Have I lost you yet?
Okay. We don't have to use
SPSS. Yeah, I actually did use SPSS, okay, on the results here. So when we're looking at numbers, we're looking for relationships and we're looking for significance. We're looking for significant differences between groups. We're looking for connections and relationships. You hear words like correlation. You hear words like statistical significance. You see on presidential polls, you see plus or minus this or that. You see these numbers all the time. They're kind of all around us in our lives. And if you take a coin, let me just give you this illustration. If you take a coin and you flip the coin and it lands and you turn it over, what's the chance that it's heads? 50%. Okay, one out of two, it's heads. Now, if you flip it again, what are the chances that it's heads this time? 50%. Now, what are the chances if I say, I'm going to flip the coin twice, and it's going to be heads both times? What's that? 25%. One half times one half is 1/4, okay? And you do it again and again and again, 1/8, 1/16, you know, you kind of go down the line. And so you get to a point of saying, if I said to you, I'm going to flip this coin, let me make a bet with you. I'm going to flip this coin 25 times, $500 bet, 25 times, and it's going to land on heads every time. Would you take that bet?
Absolutely.
You would take that bet unless there's something wrong with the coin. Okay, so if random chance is at work, the coin is going to land on heads 50% of the time. You're taking a pretty good bet if the coin is truly random. Now, if I do something to the coin to affect the coin, now the odds are going to change. If I do something to affect the coin, to weight the coin, to do something that changes its properties to ensure that my outcome is produced, now you're working against the odds. There's been something that has affected the outcome to make it non-random, right? Random on a coin is 50-50. So what we're looking for there, that's called an effect. There's something at work on this quarter that's changing the outcome. And so when you look at a variable, when you look at these numbers, you say, is there something that affects the outcome? Let's say you ask the question to a congregation, a minister, an elder, and you say, what is your attitude toward women's roles in churches of Christ, or toward women's roles in churches of Christ? Are there any variables that affect the outcome of someone's answer to that make it not a truly random response?
Yes.
Yes. What are those? How do you find that out? You begin asking questions. You begin collecting data. You begin to try to understand this. And we'll do some more on correlation and what that means in just a moment. But here's what you're looking for is, how do you know? At what point do you know? And this is as boring as I'm going to get, okay, I hope. Maybe it won't be. I can't promise that. But let's say, at what point do you feel certain that something is not by chance? What's your confidence level? That result is not by chance. In a scientific perspective, I bet Patrick knows this. 95% confident? You're 95% confident? That means that there's a 5% chance that this is still randomosity. Okay? So just by random happenstance, 1 in 20 times, something can randomly happen way out there on the tail end of the bell curve. Okay? But if I have a hypothesis, and I'm hypothesizing that I think based on experience and other research and things, I can look at it and say, this is probably what's going on, and the numbers show me that there's only a 5% chance this is random, I'm going to feel pretty good from a scientific perspective. Something's happening here. Does that make sense? So as we look at these numbers, you're going to see things like significance or sig equals 0.000, 0.001. If it says 0.050, that's a 5% chance that it's random. 0.050, 5% chance it's random. Okay, and anything I show you up here is going to have that kind of significance or better. Okay, so that when you see these numbers and you see that significance, you're going to understand that there's a statistically significant result that's happening with that relationship. Sometimes it's a positive relationship. Sometimes it's a negative relationship. Let me ask you this. Let me give you an example. If attendance goes up, are people positive about that or negative about that?
Positive.
There's a statistically significant relationship between church changes in attendance and satisfaction. Okay? What's your attitude toward that? You know, and those sorts of things. So I want to give you that just so that when you see what's up here, and I'm not going to... Well, I will flood you with numbers, but not too much of this kind of thing. I want you to understand it. I want you to be educated, okay, so that you understand what it is that we're talking about here. So who are we talking about? Let's dive into this thing. Who are we talking about here in this research? Here's our population. There's a few criteria that had to be met in order for this to someone to take this survey. So this survey has 60-plus questions on it, and here's the criteria. You have to be a member of the Church of Christ. I had a few people who responded who were of various other groups, and I pulled those out. Okay, you had to be a member of the Church of Christ. You had to actually have implemented some level of change beyond what we consider traditional. Okay, can't just be thinking about it. We talked about it sometime 10 years ago. This is, we've actually pulled the trigger on something, some change has been implemented, and you have to have still be present in that congregation. And the reason for that is, I want to be able to assess where is it today. not just you left 5 years ago and I hear it's going well or it's not going well. You need to still be present in the congregation. So when you get the respondents' information, when you get this data, that's who it's coming from. These are people who are members of Churches of Christ, who have actually instituted change, and who are still present in that congregation. Now that makes a difference, because that's if you that's not the same population as the Church of Christ as a whole, correct? Because not all churches have done that. And the attitude of someone who is in the position of actually having instituted that is in all likelihood more favorable toward those sorts of things than someone who has not. Does it make sense? Okay. So as you look at these numbers, understand who it is that is answering these questions. Okay? Sure, absolutely. Feel free to ask questions.
So, just out of curiosity, do you have any data on what percentage of Churches of Christ have implemented some non-traditional change?
You know, I don't have that number. I can tell you a little bit. I'll tell you what I do know. Does that help?
Sure.
Okay. 47 congregations represented, 17 states and one in Canada, and average churches is about 60 years old. You have some very, very young churches. You have some very, very old churches. And I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Church age was associated with increase and decrease in people who leave. Okay? So older churches have a positive correlation toward people leaving more frequently. Now, that's not a causal effect, you understand. It's a relationship. It's saying there's a connection. There's a trend here that says an older, more established congregation tends to lose more people than a brand new church plant that maybe started off with this as being part of their conception and principle and their development. Does that make sense? So church age does actually correlate with that. What about the individuals? Who are we talking about here? Okay, 73% male, 26% female. 56% ministry, and I qualify that as paid on staff, and 27% elder, 17% member. Of the minister, most of those were preachers, being with the church an average of 10.7 years, and 52 years old, 77% male, 23% female paid on staff ministers. How about our elders? Average 12.6 years, 86% male, 14% female elders, and this is again in Churches of Christ. And what about personal support? And this is where I got to identify the population, right? These are people who have actually instituted change. And you see here, 5% of people in churches who responded actually were against the changes. Okay? And what's interesting about that is of those 5%, if you run what's called an analysis of variance between groups of people who are supportive and not supportive, there actually is an effect of support level influencing their perception of outcomes. And what that means is if I'm not supportive of the change, I'm going to consistently report more negative outcomes than the people in the same church who were for the results. I may actually even be reporting lower contribution numbers, lower attendance numbers, lower worse attitudes of the congregation, all those across the board, all those sorts of things of people who are more less supportive of the change. I'm going to try to use the same verbiage as on the survey. Less supportive of the change than those who were the 95% who were for it. That's not that surprising.
Okay. Do you double check any of the input you get?
You know, it gets really interesting because he said, "Do you double check any of the input that you get?" That's a really good question, and I felt very good about the data that was there. It actually gives you IP addresses and things that you can kind of double check where things are coming from and kind of verify, you know, sample things out and verify. But of the stuff that came in, there were a few adjustments that I had to make. There was a congregation or two that were very overly represented. So say most churches have a handful of people who are doing it, but one church has 5, 6, 7, 10. Now their data is going to be overrepresented in the results. That congregation is going to have a lot of weight in what we're generally saying about the population. So I had to kind of go through that and kind of randomly pull out people from that group. To make sure that wasn't happening. So there were a few precautions taken that we're trying to make this data as clean as I can make it, as accurate as I can make it, to you know, feel good about it. Okay? Does that help?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, how supportive was the congregation upon the announcement? And this is one of the things in this study that I'm trying to differentiate between is effect at announcement, the first time something's being said about it, versus actual implementation. Okay? What happens when something's said, hey, we're going to think about this, we're going to talk about this, we're going to study this, versus now's the time we're going to actually do something. Here's the date. Boom, it's going to happen now. When it happens now, what are the differences between those two things, how supportive. And what do you think the response might be? How responsive, how what do you think the attitude may be? From overwhelmingly negative, negative, neutral, positive, overwhelmingly positive or supportive? What do you think? And then, again, these are churches that actually implement, right? I'm not talking, we surveyed 50,000 churches of Christ, and we got, what do you think? Okay, I see a few maybe more negative comments. Okay. All right, let's look at it. There you go. Overwhelmingly negative, 4%, negative, 5%, neutral, 21%, positive, 55%, overwhelmingly positive, 10%. Now, this is respondent data of mostly ministers and elders in churches that have into this change process. Okay? So this is, in other words, now there are a few members who responded to this, but this is not a survey of 1,000 members and their reaction to that. I would love to get that. Talk about future study. I would love to get that. Okay?
So this was their reporting of their perception of how
the congregational response. Yes.
Okay. So my church handled this.
This is how my church felt about this. Okay?
Are you talking about change in general or a specific change?
This is any sort of change that's non-traditional within women's roles in churches of Christ.
With respect to women's roles.
With respect to women's roles in churches of Christ, absolutely. And again, this is at the announcement stage. Now, what about today? Now, the average length of time since implementation was about 10 and a quarter years. What about today? What about today? I think I've got one more. Oh, no? Yeah, right there. See the difference there? Okay. What does that tell you? 10.24 years later, on average, what does that tell you? The attitude when they first announced it, which it wasn't actually all that negative. And again, these are churches that are probably more inclined to make these sorts of changes, we understand. And these are people who responded who are most 95% in favor of these sorts of changes. Grant, I want you to understand the sample. But do you see the change? Do you see the increase in positivity toward changes over time? Does it make sense? Okay. Absolutely.
I don't think that I understand the relativity of a person's opinion of the level of support versus, and this is a minister or an elder, versus the actual feeling of support or non-support of the actual members involved in the group.
Correct. Yeah, and that's why I said, in an ideal world, I would love to have 1,000 responses from members within these churches, which was actually part of my request in asking for the data, was please get this to some random members within your church and get back. But that was people were very hesitant to do that for some reason. I think the other side of that is it wasn't even just a hesitancy. I think that people are busy people, and I was having, it's difficult to get a response from ministers and elders as well at times. But, you know, if we talk about, and this is more the end of the talk, is when you talk about implications for future study, this would be something that would go on that list, is what are people in the pew actually reporting of how they felt at that time. This is, to me, is a kind of where is it at today among mostly ministers and elders and their perceptions of things, but that would be a next step.
That almost has to become a case study then.
What's that?
So that almost has to become a case study if we try to do that specifically
with one. A case study? Yeah. Well, a case study, in my mind, would be more like I'm going to go to this congregation and find out their process and unpack it. If I'm talking about I want 1,000 members or 500 members gauge their input at announcement implementation today, those sorts of differences, that would be an amazing thing to see. Yeah. So you need to know what these numbers are. This is reported perceptions of ministers, mostly ministers and elders in churches that have instigated change. I want you to understand what you're saying. Sure, Grant.
Matt, did you get a sense for the change of statistic? Was that a transformation within the people of that church, or over the 10 years was that people, because depending on where these churches are located, it could have been people that were just, they've made this change, so people would left their church and come to the church. It was more focusing on that. Did you get any feel for that data? Was it a transformation in people, or was it a shifting of numbers maybe from one church?
Right, that's a fantastic question. So in other words, when you make this sort of announcement or implement this sort of change, there are going to be people who are not on board with it who are going to leave, which then increases your level of support. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Right.
And I don't know quite, and within the data I have, how to tease that apart. I can tell you, we can look at the actual numbers of gains and losses and things like that, but as far as individual. In other words, you have to kind of ask the question of the people who stayed. I didn't ask that question, but that'd be a fantastic question. Right. Of the people who stayed, you know, how much level of change, or of ask the people who actually stayed. That's actually, to your point, the better question is to ask the people, you know, did you stay, yes or no? And then in SPSS, you can break down and select cases and say, I'm only selecting to do stats on people who said, yes, I stayed. And then you run the numbers on everything based on just that group. Does that make sense? Okay.
Did this group include the new people who came in and chose that congregation
right.
because of the change?
Right. Okay. So she said, does this include the new people? What this is the question would be, the change in the question is at announcement and then today. What is the attitude? What was the attitude of the congregation upon announcement? What is the attitude of the congregation now?
But
which would then include
all respondents who were there during the change, right?
What's that?
Your respondents, your population
yes.
is only people that were there during the
that's
change.
Correct. That is correct.
So it wouldn't be anybody that had come
that
after
is correct.
The change.
Yeah. But it was that's a very small group within the survey.
Okay.
84 responses, 17 people who were members. I was really hoping to get a couple hundred members, but you know, when people you're kind of trying to get the ministers and elders on board. Because it was a very, I'll say this, a very lengthy survey. It would take you quite a bit of time. You're having to go pull numbers and things to be accurate. I mean, it was asking a lot for someone to do. But I would love to dive into what you two are talking about for sure. And that's part of the end of this that I want to get into is what do we need to look at looking ahead? Kind of what would be a next step? I'm kind of starting to lay a little groundwork here to kind of start wrapping our minds around this. So any other questions here before I keep going? Okay. So what sort of changes are we talking about here? All right. Changes in order of frequency, just from top to bottom, passing communion down to ladies being elders. And so of these seven pretty common things that came up across the board with people asking these questions, the average number of changes for a given congregation is 4.82 out of 7. And typically, if there were two that were left that were not done, it was elder and preacher, which we have right here. So 14% went to a full egalitarian position implementation, 35% went everything minus preacher and elder, and 46% were just everything else. Maybe they said women can serve communion or pray or these sorts of things, preside over the Lord's table, over the Lord's Supper. So these are the kind of changes that we're talking about here, and again, I'll back up to that slide. You can kind of get a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about here. Okay. So how was this rolled out? Do you pull the Band-Aid off fast or slow? You know, it turns out that there's no wrong answer to that. There is no correlation between, or there's no, it wouldn't be a correlation. Let me say this about correlation very quickly. Correlation, you have to have two continuous sets of numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they have to be continuous. I can't correlate males and females to years. Does it make sense? Okay, I can't say women are correlated with, you know, you can't correlate discrete groups, okay? So this is saying there is no main effect. If you look for a difference in means between or averages between these two groups, there is no statistical difference between of effectiveness between churches who rolled out fast or slow. Now, that's not prescriptive. This is descriptive. This is telling you what's typical of these 47 congregations, what's typically being reported. And when you hear there's no statistical difference, what that's saying is, it's saying, don't go with one of these because this is just what typically happens. Okay? Do you hear what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is just a descriptive thing. All right? So what's the let's look at timeline here a little bit, and I've already mentioned the average today since the implementation on average is 10 years length of implementation. Now this was interesting. You ask elders. I actually asked them separately. I said, okay, elders answer these questions. Ministers answer these same questions. Okay, this was interesting. How long did it take to actually roll this out from start to finish? Elders said 8.8 years. Ministers said 3.6. And then what I did was, just to make sure I'm really, this is not something, that seemed like, wow, you know, and you can kind of think of, I mean, we're going to hypothesize a little bit here, but, you know, elders begin conversations sometimes before they get to a certain point. And an elder may say, "This is, we've been talking about this for a long time," or "It feels like it's been a really long time." "This feels like 8 years. Reality was, it might have been 3. We've been talking about this a long time. And so then what I did was I boiled this all down to match up ministers and elders from the same congregation. And that's it. The only people left in the data, kind of selecting out cases, was a minister and an elder from the same congregation. That was all that's being analyzed in this. And it got a little closer. Okay. So I wanted to throw out people that didn't have an elder match or minister match. But it's, there's a difference. There's still, you know, not as much of a difference. Got a little better. All right, what about anticipation of future change? Do you anticipate any future change? Have you implemented everything? Ministers said yes. 18% ministers, we have implemented everything. Elders, 38%, we have implemented everything. We are done. That's as far as we're going to go. So 20%? Okay. Do you anticipate future change, ministers? 70%. Elders, no, we're not going any further. I don't know. There you go. I thought that was good. I don't know. All right. Why not? How about notice given to the congregation? 91% gave some sort of notice, 9% did not. That's interesting. All right, how about studying? How about studying? Did they study? 84% reported some sort of study here that they were doing. 72% of that involved the whole congregation. 15% might be small groups or a group of these people or whatever, however, you know, whatever group they decided. Average length of study, again, being 8 months long. And when asked, what would you do different next time? We'll get to this number, but it was, I forget the percent, I'm not going to say it, but it was, I think the biggest answer was, go faster. Yeah. No, for the biggest answer was nothing. I would not do anything different. Number two was, I wish we had moved a little faster. Okay. Any questions right here before I keep rolling through this? Feel free to ask, okay? Who made the decision? Who made the decision? Elders and ministers, 47%. Elders alone, 24%. Congregation as a whole, which some of those were survey approaches, 13%. Elders and select members, 11%. Now, who gets to announce? And then there was who knows. Okay. I forget who knows. Who made the decision? Who knows? This could be any issue, right? I mean, this could be, why are we passing communion from the back now? 1%. Who knows? I don't know. I'm upset about it, but I don't know.
Hey, Matt, can you go back one slide before?
What's that?
Can you go back one slide?
Right there?
Yeah. About 11 11% use a survey to gather congregational feedback. Is that after or before?
Before.
Like, before.
Pre.
Okay.
Did it make any difference?
No.
I didn't think so. No. We're starting a survey. I just was
okay.
Whether it's going to make any difference.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. If you want specifics on that, and before I just throw out answers at you, give me your email and I'll give you some numbers on that if you want to. Because I don't want to speak off the cuff on that because I don't have that number in front of me. But I'll give you that information. So I could be remembering wrong. There's a lot of numbers in here. I want to make sure I'm telling you right because I don't want to affect your process.
Okay. Can you hear that comment? Can you explain that to the rest of us at the back? So sure. We can hear what you said.
Oh, on the survey, she said, was the survey done before or after? And this is a survey gauging congregational feedback prior to implementation or prior to making any sort of decision. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other questions here?
Is there a correlation between who studied or how many studied to the success of the implementation?
How many people studied?
No. Is there a correlation to the study, like actually the congregations actually studying to the success of the implementation versus people who, or congregations who didn't study?
You know, no, I don't believe that there was, but let me dig in on that a little bit. Because I don't want to tell you wrong without the number in front of me. But I began asking this question, and here's where statistics gets into a jumble sometimes. Is if you have a non-hypothesis driven process, and you just say I'm going to dive through the numbers and run 1,000 analysis. If okay, let me put it this way: if I'm going to run 100 analysis at random, looking for something. I'm digging for something. Because randomness will still give me 5% of the time a significant result where there is none, bell curve at the end. If I run 100 random analysis, 5 times out of 100, I'm going to get a statistically significant result. Now, in some of these, I did expect some difference, and I was looking for that, and I do not recall, and I'm going to, again, I would tell you, I'm going to give you everything I have and not hold back, okay? I began looking for what was it that made a difference in outcome in these churches. Was it churches that studied, said yes or no on study? Was it churches that took surveys? Was it churches that I started going through everything. What in the world was it that made a difference on this thing? And you know what it was? Time. It was time. The longer it's been since you made the change, the better people feel about it. And that may go to partly to Grant's point, is that the people who are upset about it, who do go, leave a group of people behind who are still supportive or are learning to be supportive.
Well, and you're only looking at churches who actually made a change,
yes.
So there's no way to calculate. There's probably an unknown percentage of churches who did a study and chose not to change,
yeah.
Or did a study, and then when they implemented the change, things didn't go well, and they went back. And
yeah.
So I think that this data probably wouldn't successfully answer that question,
that could
unfortunately.
Be. Yeah, that could be. That's a great point. I appreciate that you have wrapped your mind around. I mean, I'm not saying that. That the way you're saying that, I love the way you're saying that.
I have
because,
opinion.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, there you go. Can you explain this to us? Because that's fantastic. That's okay. I'm getting educated. Thank you.
No, you're good.
You're
well,
amazing.
I
love that. Thank you.
Fantastic. I came because I was excited about
okay.
Statistics.
Yay! Go us. It's you and me. The only ones. All right. Anyone else excited? Come on. Be honest. Be honest.
Scott, okay. Do you know what the survey, the what or the how of the ones that use the survey, do you have any idea what or how they did that? Like, did they
No. Well, you know, it seemed to be a full-out congregational approach.
Okay, right.
We're going to survey the what it was in the survey. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get particulars on that, but gauging their approach, you know, that was 11% endorsed using some level of finding out congregational feedback via survey. It'd be interesting to find out. And there were a handful of churches that reported going to each member on a personal level, you know, and gauging input and feedback through that approach. That's interesting. Okay, so let's look a little bit more here. Make sure I'm on the right page. Okay. So we did that. Who knows? Communication. Okay, who got to communicate this? An elder or elders? 57%. Elders and ministers, 20%. A minister, 15%. No communication, 8%. People left saying nothing ever got said. It just happened. Okay. All right, so what did you do? How'd you announce it? 75% announcement, 69% written communication, letter pretty much, sermon announcement, 55% class, 55% on how this is actually being communicated. And again, the average length of study is 8 months.
Sure. On the 2 slides ago, when you had the 8% at the bottom, Do you remember or know if it was members or elders or ministers, which group communicated that it was not communicated?
Members.
Members.
It was all members that said that because, I mean, again, well, I don't want to speak out of turn, but if I can just speak from just a whatever point of view, I mean, when you're in an eldership and as a minister, you feel like a lot's been said. But then if you had said, well, what's actually been said that people actually heard and understood, you know, that's something else. And so sometimes there's that perception of, we've talked about this so much, certainly everyone knows. Of course, that's just very small. It's still 92% said something. You know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Does that
help? No.
Okay, good question. All right. What are their goals?
You said a couple times now the average length is 8 months of the study. Was there, have you found where they all stay in the same thing? Is there, that's kept it at 8 months, or is that just kind of they're doing their own random thing and it just happened to be?
Just their own random thing. That's kind of what they report. when asked what was, if you did a study, how long was your study? That was the average, and there was quite a large range. From a lot of them said 3 months, say a quarter, right, all the way up to years, 2 years, 3 years. And so when you get to the question of what would you do different, and I'm going to say a number, say it's 35%, 30% say we would move faster. You do a 2 year study, week in, week out. You do a 7.27 year rollout. You see that? What is the length of time from first change to last? 7.27 years on average. You can say someone's going to say we should move a little faster, and you might could say, well, that doesn't sound very, what would be the word? Cognizant of the rest of the, people who are moving more slowly, whatever. They're moving very slowly, right? And I think part of the reason that we're moving very slowly is because we are very cognizant of our brothers and our sisters. And we want to be very patient with them. Okay? Absolutely.
How does this, is there any relationship to the size of the church? Like, if you have 1,000 members versus, say, 30 members of the congregation in terms of study time and in terms of the communication method?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I could dig in on that a little bit, but it would have to be next week sometime. Yeah, I thought about bringing my laptop down and just throw, but I didn't feel good about doing that. I don't feel good about putting the data. Nobody was told their data to be up on a screen at Pepperdine. So what are the goals? And this is so interesting because what? And I'm going to do a little myth busting at the end, not to do anything kind of a teaser thing, but I'll give you what I've got is, what do you typically hear? Okay. Churches that implement change within women's roles, there's some stereotypes that you hear on this. And what is a big one? Number one here. What's the big one? Falling from the faith. You hear that? Well, they just must not care about Scripture. And now this is like primary goal kind of stuff. Okay. Imagine half the church said, our goal is to actually honor Scripture more accurately. Okay. It's interesting. 34% gifts and talents to be utilized more fully within the body. 8% to be more outwardly focused. 8% to more fully embody the image of God. 3% enrich our worship. And some of these churches did see an influx of new people, actually.
Question about those data there. Were these the possible choices that they were given on a survey, or were these roughly entered on their own?
This was entered on their own.
Okay.
So this is what comes to mind for them when I say, what was your goal? This is what I'm going to put down. And so distilling this. So I distilled their responses down to these categories. Okay.
So let me ask you another question then about that. For example, one of the goals I think about is justice. And when I think of justice, does that fall into maybe faithful to Scripture? Or?
It seemed like people who mentioned justice kind of got more into the 8% on more fully embodying the image of God.
Okay.
It kind of seemed like the justice and the image of God, people who respond with the justice response also had to more fully embody that.
Yeah. Okay. So how effective were you in meeting these changes? And again, these are from the perspective of people who have implemented, typically ministers and elders, on a 5-point scale, 4.2, 5 being completely effective. It's a Likert scale. 4.2%, 5 being completely effective, 4 being effective. Now, this is interesting. 5 being completely supportive, 4 being supportive, 3 being neutral, 2 being unsupportive, 1 being completely unsupportive. How supportive were you, how supportive were people of these age groups within your churches, self-reported by ministers, elders, and some members? This was their perception of that. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
See the downward slope? It's a perception. Now, going to your point, is that a fair thing to take this number and map it onto groups of people and say that must be how they feel? No, it's not.
We need to go to those groups of people and ask them, like you said, where are you at on that? And find the raw data out on that and analyze it from their perspective. This is, again, self-report of people reporting on their experience within the congregation that they're part of.
And they are probably reporting on the ones that are still there.
Yes. This was,
I
have to think of how that question was worded. But.
Yeah, I, realize you asked now and 10 years later. Or
so. At announcement, implementation, and today for the three.
So when was that gauged?
I'm trying to, I don't have a hard copy in front of me to answer that question of exactly at what point in time was that. If my memory is correct, it was a general question of supportiveness, which I think to your point would be they're probably gauging that at this point in time. Because it was not, I don't think, specifically asked at announcement or implementation. So where are they? And again, you'll still notice, though, three is neutral. I mean, so you see a downward slope, but keep in mind, three is neutral. You don't see anybody below three. So, I mean, you could look at the downward slope and say, well, that's a downward slope. There's a more negative. It's still not actually a negative attitude, even amongst the 80s and 90s, being reported. Interesting. Any questions more on that? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, we'll kind of wrap up here pretty soon. We've got a couple minutes left, but let's look at attendance a little bit, and then we'll start off on contribution changes tomorrow morning. Same time, same place. Attendance change at announcement. 4% gain, 42% no change, 54% lost members. Does that surprise you?
No.
Okay. So that leaves you at 46% is no change or gain, although it's heavily weighted to no change, stay the same, and 54% loss. Would you? Yeah. Okay, overall change at announcement, 7.85% loss at announcement. We are going to talk about this. We are going to study this. 7.85% loss. That's an estimate, again. That's thinking back, and again, for some of this average 10 years ago, thinking back, what's your assessment of that? And now I did actually ask for some particular numbers that some people wrote down to the penny on, which is very helpful. Now, on the 54% who lost, the average loss was 15.4%. So the 7.85% losses of the entire group, those who gained, those who lost, everybody as an entire average of all churches, the average is 7.85% loss. Now, you select out the group that says, yes, we lost, and you say, so what's your average loss? It's 15.45% at announcement.
What was your peak, or what was your worst case loss?
See, people are funny. There was one member who reported a church of 80 who lost 40 at announcement and 40 at implementation. They're currently at 40 people. I found that to be intriguing. Well, let's look. All right. So at implementation, 15% gain. Okay, that was before it was 4% gain. Now at implementation, 15% gain, 34% no change, 52% lost some more people at implementation, which is a slight shift. Now, if you notice, they're still very similar percentages. It's 52 and 54 on loss, but the no change, some of them move up to a gain at implementation. You see that? No change goes from 42 to 34, and gain goes from 4 to 15. So there is a slight bump for some churches at implementation for some. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is not the driving necessarily. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of factors going on in these churches that, as we know, anyone you're involved in a church, there's a lot of factors. There may be a church that loses a minister at the exact same time they're implementing, or they lose eldership, or they lose various things, or they have other factors that are coming in at the same time that create a mix of things. You call that like a Z factor. You know, you say, let me put it this way. It's like saying, you know, there's 100% correlation, like 1.0% correlation between people who are vegan and people who die.
Yes.
Like all vegans die. If you drink orange juice, you will die. Okay? That's not really correlation, but it's a big discrete group. What I'm saying is, you know, you look at it, there's a Z factor. The Z factor is you're human. You die. Okay? So sometimes numbers have other factors that are coming in that impact results. So overall change in implementation was 8.71% loss. Okay? And that is again of after losing your 7.4 overall, of the 52% who lost, this time it was a 20% loss at actual implementation. Okay? And the reason I'm doing percentages is if I say and I think the number was like 23 people or something like that. Let's see.
The number was, I think, 23 people at announcement. If I say 23 people, that means nothing to you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it means something because they're people, but I mean, it doesn't mean as much as a percentage, because if a church of 46 loses 23, they lost 50%. Yeah. A church of 900 loses 23, then they're still cranking along at 97% or something, 95%. Not that many. What's my math professor?
Okay.
Need some help. Percentage. Okay, there's my orange juice. We just did that. Okay, you drink orange juice, you'll die. They're related. They're not correlated. They're related. Okay. So, effectiveness in meeting your goals. How effective was this in meeting your goals? -0.399 correlation, which means that the more people they lost, the less effective they felt it met their goals. And the more people they gain, more loss means less effective in people's minds, right? There's a cost there. Say, how effective was it? Oh, wow, we lost a lot of people. Or if people say, well, we didn't lose a lot of people, we say, well, we feel like things were more effective. How about reception of the change by the congregation as a whole is, you know, how did the congregation feel about this is also negatively correlated. The more people they lost, the worse they felt about it. The more people they lost, the less effective they thought it was. The more people they gained, the more effective it seemed to become. General congregational attitude at announcement is also negatively correlated. And the age of congregation is positively correlated to loss. And I know we got to go.
When did you do your gathering of this material? When did it start and stop?
Of the data collection?
Yes.
Was April. Was last week of March through
this year?
This year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, fresh data.
Over the last 6 weeks.
Okay, good.
Yeah, fresh data. Yep, good question. I know we got to go right there. I'll leave the next person plenty of time. But tomorrow, if you want to come back,